Please turn to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, that's where we're going to take our sermon from this morning. We're going to talk about what the Lord told his apostles after his death, burial, and resurrection in commissioning them to preach the gospel. He said, all things must be fulfilled. So, if you'll turn with me to Luke 24, and we'll begin reading the context of the lesson there in those verses. Luke chapter 24, beginning of verse 44. And he said unto them, these are my words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must needs be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses, and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their mind that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name unto all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. And ye are my witnesses, or ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send forth the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city until ye be clothed with power from on high. So he was with his apostles before, in that 40 days that he was on the earth, after he was raised from the dead, and that he was ascended, it says in Acts chapter 1. To be with the Father. He was on the earth 40 days after he was raised, and he commissioned his apostles to teach during that time. We have it recorded in Matthew. We have it recorded in Mark. We have it here recorded in Luke, and we actually have it recorded in John to a certain extent as well. But we have it recorded in Acts chapter 1. Okay? So we have it recorded in several different places for us in the Bible. But what we're going to talk about this morning is, well, what is the commission? What did he want them to speak? And was that accomplished? Or are we still getting the word, the Lord's word today in different forms, okay? And it's teaching us to do different things than it says that they were taught and to teach in the New Testament. So that's what we're going to do this morning. So all things must be fulfilled concerning the Christ, he says in verse 44. The context was that the central was what was the context then? Was it the central message that Christ wanted preached? He tells them right here. Okay? He tells them in this passage of scripture. So, where were the apostles to get the context of the message? The first answer, so I don't just follow that, I'm going to get my notes out here too. But the context there says, in Luke 24, verse 44, it says, from the Old Testament scriptures. How do I know that? Because what he said was, he said, which were written in the law of Moses. Now, what is the law of Moses? The law of Moses begins in Genesis. Moses wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. We call that the Pentateuch. The reason we call that the Pentateuch, because penta means five. And tuch is a writing. And that's what Moses wrote. Did you know that Moses wrote about Christ in the Pentateuch? In fact, Moses wrote about Christ in the first book of the Pentateuch, in Genesis. Christ was talked about from the very beginning. And not only that, the rest of those books in the Old Testament, the rest of those are about prophetic writings getting us to understand who the Christ was. Okay? So how did they learn what was to be preached? Well, if it was written down and he told them, you need to know what to teach from about the Christ from what was written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms, he says, concerning me. If they want to know about him, where are they supposed to look? Do you see that? It says right there in verse 44, concerning me. So this is not a hard lesson. This is just a lesson about, hey, where do we learn about who Christ was? We learn about that in the law of Moses and in the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Do you see that? Who was Christ? Well, John sums it up in the first few verses of John chapter 1. He says, in the beginning was the Word. Where do we read about the beginning? Genesis chapter 1 and 2. That's where we read about it. In the beginning was the Word, capital W. The Holy Spirit says, put a capital on that W, because we're not talking about just Word, we're talking about who the Word was. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. When God said, let us make man in our own image, who was he talking to? He was talking to the other two in the Godhead. He was talking to the Word, Christ, and the one who brings the Word to men, the Holy Spirit. He was talking to those two who were also God, and they made us in his image. The same, verse 2 of John 1, was in the beginning with God. In other words, there was nothing that we know of his beginning, except that he was here. You see that? All things were made through him. Let us, God said. And without him was not anything made that hath been made. And we know, and we've studied it before. I've preached two lessons on the first 8 days, first 7 days, right? A week seven, not eight. The first 7 days. Do you remember that? And what did we understand about Christ? That not only did he make everything, but in Colossians chapter 1 it says, verse 17, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. What does consist mean? It means it runs. It's the makeup of it all, and it keeps it going. So think about the things that keep it going. We talked about the sun coming up every morning, right? The earth going around that sun and all the planets and everything else going. Oh, the seasons. The sun going down in the evening, right? All of that stuff. Who makes that stuff run? Colossians chapter 1 is talking about Jesus Christ, the Son of His love, it says in verse 13. Who is the image of the invisible God, verse 15. The firstborn of all creation. Because in Him were all things created, in the heavens and upon the earth, and things visible and things invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things have been created through Him and unto Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. Who runs this place? Christ. That's what the gospel tells me. And it sums up all of Moses, the writings of Moses, and the prophets and the Psalms concerning Him. It's what He told the apostles. Concerning Me. He opened their mind for understanding. Look at verse 45 of Luke 24. Then opened He their mind that they might understand the Scriptures. Just in case you haven't studied the Scriptures enough, He says, well, He didn't really say it that way. What He said was, is let me tell you how this goes. Let me tell you how this goes. Because I am depending upon you. I'm commissioning you to tell everybody else how this goes. So let me tell you how this goes. I've been here since the beginning, and if you want to know who I am, just like Sister Mary D said this morning, you got to go read about it in the Old Testament Scripture. That's what she said in class. We have to study the Old Testament Scriptures to learn about Jesus. He opened their minds to show them. He taught them the connection of what was written in the Old Testament versus what was now happening. You see that? Look at verse 45. That they might understand the Scriptures. In verse 46, and He said unto them, thus it is written. Where is it written? It's written in the Old Testament. That the Christ should suffer and rise again from the dead the third day. That's what's happening. By the way, I rose from the dead on the third day. Do you see that, brethren? So He taught them the connection of what was written versus what was now happening. Look at 1 Peter 1. Not everybody did that. 1 Peter 1, they wrote about it, but they didn't understand what was happening. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 10. Talking about Christ. How do I know He's talking about Christ? Because it says that In 1 Peter, he talks about, in verse 7, the proof of your faith being more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be proved by fire, be proved by fire, may be found unto praise and glory and honor at the revelation. What is that? The revealing of Jesus Christ. You see that? Whom not having seen ye love. On whom, though ye see Him not, yet believing, ye rejoice greatly with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even what? What's the end of our believing who Jesus was? Should be the salvation of our sins. Salvation of our soul, from our sins, the salvation of our souls, it says in verse 9. But look at verse 10. Concerning which salvation the prophets sought, the prophets of old sought and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what time or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did point unto, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that should follow them. To whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto you, did they minister these things which now have been announced unto you through them that preach the gospel unto you by the Holy Spirit sent forth from heaven, which things angels desired. Nobody knew about what was going to happen. Even angels desired to look in. And the prophets wrote about it, not understanding what exactly it was that was going to happen. And now Christ is telling his apostles it's happening. And this is what I want you to teach everybody. So what was the message? See verse 46. And when he said, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and rise again from the dead the third day. Why that message? Because that is what saves us, brethren, from our sins. What did he do? Well, we're going to read it in Acts chapter 2 in a minute. Acts chapter 2 says that he took our sins upon him and he took them to the cross. And he bore our sins on the cross. And the Lord punished him for it, our sins, so that we wouldn't have to. Because there's no punishment except death for our sins, and that's what he encountered. That's what the Son of God, God himself, encountered is death on the cross for our sins. He took our sins to the grave. And he was punished for it. Well, Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, and authority reside in Scripture. The apostles, he said, and look what he says in verse 47. 46, again, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name unto everybody, all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. And who's supposed to do it? Look for 48. And ye are my witnesses. You saw me alive. You saw me killed. You saw me buried. And now you see me resurrected. You're witnesses, he says. So what were they to do specifically? Preach. That's what he says. You preach repentance. The sins that killed our Lord, get out of them. Get out of them. And have your sins remitted by being buried with him in the grave of the water grave of baptism and raised to walk in the newness of life. Let me ask you something. Is that what's being preached today? Outside of here, in little old places like here, and little old Bible studies where people are studying across a table from each other and reading from the Bible, those things. Because that's what's being preached here. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and repentance and remission of sin. Brethren, that's the only thing that will save us, you see. That's why it's so important that these apostles preach this. And where were they supposed to do it from? He said, you start in Jerusalem. That's where I was killed. And that's where everybody's still wondering where I am at. You let them know where I'm at. Look at Isaiah chapter 2. Just so you know that what I'm speaking about here is in the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 2, because he said in Moses and prophets, Isaiah was a prophet, and the Psalms, let's read a few in Psalms 2 concerning me. Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, and the word of Jehovah came to me, saying, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, I remember for thee the kindness of thy youth, and did I get in the wrong place? I'm sorry. Isaiah 2, 1 through 3. I'm in the wrong place, aren't I? 4. Is it 4? Or is it 2? Am I wrong? I'm just reading the wrong place. Oh, yeah, there it is. Sorry. Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Let me read it again. I'm sorry. And the word of Jehovah came to me, saying, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith Jehovah, I remember for thee thy kindness of thy youth and the love of thine espousals, how thou wendest after... Oh, I'm in Jeremiah. That's why. This don't even sound right. Somebody tell me I'm in Jeremiah. I kept reading Jerusalem, and I thought I was in the right place, but I'm not. Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. And there's other places as well, by the way. Micah chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. And Jeremiah chapter 3, verses 11 through 19. But we're not going to read that. We're actually going to read where I said we're going to read right here. Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And the word that Isaiah, the son of Amoz, said to Saul concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of Jehovah's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go unto the mountain of Jehovah, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion, that's Jerusalem, brethren, shall go forth the law and the word of Jehovah from Jerusalem. He says two things separated by a comma, which means equal. Okay? And I said the same words are in Micah chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Okay? These things are to begin from Jerusalem. So, in other places, like in Acts, and we're going to read that in just a moment. But how was the context of the message to be guaranteed? We talked some about that this morning. There's some things these apostles could do that nobody else could. For instance, on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem, when they were there, 10 days after he told them this stuff, about 10 days, they were all together in one place, it says in Acts chapter 2, and the Holy Spirit came upon them. And what was the result of the Holy Spirit coming upon those 12 men? Well, the Bible says that they were able to speak in tongues or languages that they hadn't studied. So when they talked to everybody who was all there in Jerusalem on that day, in the temple, by the way, they stood up and taught death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and repentance and remission of sins in the language that everybody could understand. That was just the first time, first one. It goes on and on and on from there. They were able to heal people. There was a man that was lame from his mother's from his mother's womb, it says in Acts chapter 3. Right? And Peter and John, and he had been carried to a place where he knew Peter and John was going to be, so that he could get some alms from them. And Peter and John said, oh, alms are money, by the way, because he needed a way to live. He couldn't walk. And Peter and John said to him, we don't have any money, but what we have, we'll give you. Take up your bed, take up what you're laying on, and walk. And that's exactly what he did. Now, first of all, none of them could speak in a language on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 on that Sunday. They couldn't speak in any of the languages before that day that they were speaking in. And secondly, Peter and John could not tell people to get up and walk before that day. Right? Can you? I want to read you something. If I'll find it, I'll read it. It's in Hebrews chapter 2, if I'm not in the wrong place. Verse 1, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that were heard, lest happily we drift away from them. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which was having in the first been spoken through the Lord, that's Jesus, was confirmed unto them that heard, God also bearing witness with them, how? Both by signs and wonders and by manifold powers and by gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. That's how. The apostles were to be confirmed by the things which they did. Their word was to be confirmed by the things which they did. He gave them the Holy Spirit. He told them in John chapter 14, you can look these up, 25 and 26. Actually, in chapter 15 too. I just didn't put it down there, but it's in chapter 15 too, beginning in verse 26. But it's also in chapter 16 in verse 13, and then over in 25 and 26. There as well. He gave them the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit not only gave them all these things that they could do, but he gave them what to say. The Holy Spirit guided them what to say and guided them what to write. In fact, the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 3, he told the Ephesians, he said, if you'll read what I've written down, you'll know what the Holy Spirit says to you, because it's never been given unto men except to us by the Holy Spirit. So, where were the apostles to get the content of the message? I just told you, from the Old Testament scriptures, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets. How did they learn what was to be preached? He opened their mind for understanding, but they needed to stay in the Word to understand it, right? He taught them the connection of what was written versus what was now happening. He gave them the Holy Spirit to guide them. He told them it was going to start in Jerusalem. And so did it happen. Did the apostles preach what the prophets had written? Look at Acts chapter 2. I talked to you about the first five verses. Actually, in the seventh verse, everybody that witnessed them talking in other languages said, are these not Galilean? These don't look like scholars to me. They were all amazed and marveled, because every man heard in their own language that they were born in. List them all there. And then, just like a man would do, they said, you know, let me put some thought to this and see what, oh yeah, they must be drunk. Now, I'm sorry, but I've never seen anybody profuse another language while they were inebriated that I could understand. Have you? Peter put a little common sense into this, and he said, verse 14 of Acts chapter 2, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and spake unto them, saying, ye men of Judea and all that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and give ye ear unto these words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. This is only noon. But this is what the prophet Joel. So, what Joel said in Joel chapter 2, verse 28 through the end of the chapter, is exactly written right here. So I'm not going to take you to Joel. I'm just going to read what it says in Acts, because the Holy Spirit told Luke to write it down. And it shall be in the last day, saith God, I will pour forth my spirit upon all flesh, and the sons of your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Yea, and all on my servants and all my handmaidens in these days will I pour forth my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth beneath, blood, fire, and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness. What happened on the day that Jesus Christ died? It was dark. And the moon into blood before the day of the Lord come, that great and notable day. And it shall be that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what Joel said. And Peter's doing exactly what Christ told him to do. He quotes Joel, and then he begins to preach to them about repentance and remission of sins. Why? Because Jesus was now alive. He goes to Psalms. He quotes the prophets and King David in the Psalms. And I'm going to read, you can read those. Psalm 16, 8 and following, and 110, verse 1. I've got them right here, but you don't need me to read them. You can read them yourself. In Acts chapter 2, verse 22, he begins to talk about all of this stuff and that Christ bore our sins on the cross to the grave with him. But he couldn't be beholden of the punishment of sin and death because he was perfect and he was God. He couldn't be beholden of it. And he didn't see corruption from it either. On the third day, when they got back to see, when they went to go take stuff to him to make sure that the body wouldn't smell, it was gone. And by the way, brother, nobody's ever found one. Even though they paid men to lie about somebody stealing it. He said David talked about it, Peter said. The rest of the apostles said the same thing. But Peter's is recorded by the Holy Spirit, Peter's sermon. He said that patriarch David, who you can go find his grave and bones or the dust from them. He said he wasn't even talking about himself when he said he couldn't be beholden of it. He was talking about Jesus. He was neither left in the grave or in Hades. The devil couldn't hold him in hell because he was God. And he never sinned. He just took our stuff. And brother, God raised him up. Verse 32. This Jesus did God raise up, whereon we are all witnesses. We can't find the body either. Except that he was with us for 40 days. And we saw him go up to heaven. He said, the Holy Spirit has told you all this stuff. Verse 34, for David ascended not into the heavens, but he hath himself said, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thy enemies the footstool of thy feet. Psalm. Let all the house of Israel therefore know assuredly that God made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom ye crucified. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, and they asked Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And they said, repent and be baptized. So my answer to you is, they preached exactly what they were told to preach. In the second sermon, recorded sermon, they said they were witnesses of this resurrection. Just again, what he said, and you'll be my witness. And they told about the prophets being foretold of the death, burial, and resurrection in Isaiah 42, 52, and 53. And then he talks about all of those people beginning in Acts chapter 3, verse 18, and going through verse 25. He talks about the prophets and Moses and everybody concerning Jesus Christ. even Moses. So I'm not going to read all that to you because you can. You just take these and you just read them. You write and jot them down because those are the words that the apostles spoke. Christ said to the apostles before he left this earth on the 40th, around the 40th day or so, he said, all things must be fulfilled concerning me. Were they? Yes. What are you teaching today? Are you teaching those same things? Because those are the things that must be fulfilled. And if you haven't been part of the fulfillment of Jesus Christ teaching about his death, burial, and resurrection, and repentance and remission of sins, we ask you to do that today as we together we stand and sing.